So anything you'd like to see Dr. Beer address in this case, particularly about this episode with the bevacizumab?
Yeah, I mean, this really makes me wonder, like many, many people, it's like, is there a real surrogate marker for response to bevacizumab? And the dose 15 milligram per kilo, could I have restarted her with a smaller dose? Do we know what's the minimum biologically effective dose of bevacizumab? How often to give it? How better to control the hypertension and the proteinuria in these patients? If somebody developed nephrotic syndrome range of proteinuria and the patient agrees to restart once it subsides, would you restart it knowing it could recur? Again, really, the most important thing to me with bevacizumab is a marker of response. Who will respond better? Who wouldn't respond so that we can use it in the right patient?
You know, in listening to this case, the one thing that at least jumps out to me is the creatinine going up. What did your nephrologist say? Was she volume depleted? What was going on?
He thought very strongly it's really the hypertension. It's like acute hypertension. This is a patient that was not really hypertensive. And I mean, her blood pressure went up. We documented systolic above 200 and diastolic above 140 millimeter of mercury.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, she was really asymptomatic, but very, very hypertensive, which is really unusual. I mean, we use bevacizumab for more than a decade and they have in so many cancers. Usually you don't get this acute event. I was worried, is the patient gonna develop hemolytic uremic syndrome, sort of? But she never had any hemolysis to suggest it.
So, you know, you talked about markers of response, and, you know, one that I've heard debated has been actually the development of hypertension. So you said she responded really well, and you also said she had this real sensitive situation with terms of hypertension. Maybe they're correlated. We should ask Dr. Barrow that.
Oh, absolutely. I would really appreciate it if he can respond to that, not necessarily with real data, but from his own personal experience. Has he seen that? Has he looked at the patient he treated? Because I think we really need to come up with a predictive and a surrogate marker for bevacizumab. Not everybody responds, but those who respond, they respond beautifully in advanced ovarian cancer.
So, you know, we asked a bunch of psychosocial questions of the docs who took this survey. And one of the things we asked was, did the patient have any short-term goals that they were able to fulfill? Now, this lady actually survived quite a few years with advanced ovarian cancer, so she did better than usual. What did she achieve during that time period that you were able to observe?
Yeah, she was really an amazing woman. She was so focused on her life, her daughter. She has two children, a daughter and a son. Her daughter got married. She has two grandchildren. But amazing, we talk about the psychosocial and the positive attitude. This lady was the poster child of positive attitude. She never worried about a number. We would check her CA125 and she would look at it and she say, no, I am not ready. I don't have symptoms. I know the data. I read. She really lived her life. She wanted to live. And she actually was dealing with another disease. I don't know if I mentioned it in the case. She had actually bad psoriasis with arthritis, but was very well controlled. I would have thought when I was giving her chemotherapy, Neil, that she will do well. She actually did not. Every now and then I would have to give her weekly methotrexate because of pain in her joints from psoriasis. I don't know if there is any correlation between the toxicity with bevacizumab and psoriasis. She was not on methotrexate when she developed the complications from bevacizumab.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but what about NSAIDs?
She was not really taking many. I was giving her tramadol every now and then, but she knew. No, she was not. She was very, very aware of it because of methotrexate.
And another thing I thought was interesting, you know, we asked the physicians also, in this particular case, and of course, all these cases, the patient died from advanced cancer, to what extent did you feel attached to the patient? It's not easy to get attached to somebody in that situation. And you described this patient, you checked off very attached.
Very, very attached. Let me tell you, this is a lady that I see her talking to you. I see her voice. I see her daughter. You know, her husband will come every now and then, but wasn't really very involved. Not because he didn't care. They were a very loving family. He just couldn't handle it. Yeah, this is a lady who we actually have in our healthcare. If a patient will, you know, donate money for the foundation, and she was very, very active, and it was a pleasure, an honor, and a privilege to take care of her. She was amazing. She really was. She lived her life, and her daughter visited us several times after she died.